This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. There's more on power987.co.za.
I'm Ayabong Atawe. Thank you for downloading this Power Business podcast.
Indeed, we're coming to you live from the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and South African drivers are on, of course, that note of insurance might feel a relief in another cost driver of their driving experience, and that's the petrol price. There is some respite on the way, and we've been told by the Department of Energy that petrol price increases in November are going to be halted, and the petrol price will remain unchanged on Wednesday, dashing hopes of a slight price decrease of about 16 cents, which was forecast by the Automobile Association. Now, the South African retail price of petrol and wholesale price of diesel is set every month by the Department of Energy's Central Energy Fund. Joining me now to maybe explain how they go about doing this and why the forecasts would be divergent from those that are released by the Automobile Association is Hlulani Mokoena, transport economist and a lecturer at the Northwest University. Hlulani, good evening to you, brother. How are you?
Good evening, Ayawonga. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks, man. Just briefly outline for us, man, how the Central Energy Fund is able to compute and say to us every month, hey, on a certain Wednesday, petrol price is going up. What factors do they take into account? And why would their forecast slightly differ from that of the AA?
Oh, okay. So in the most basic sense, we look at two particular elements. So the one side is the dynamics of international product prices, and the other side is the exchange rate. But then there are also some underlying factors, for instance, the cost of moving this particular commodity, because movement of diesel and movement of petroleum and paraffin are different, shipping costs and other aspects related to the supply chain could influence what we see in terms of the product price. And then also just the dynamics from an international perspective is what we see in the exchange rate. And then the other side is balancing the sort of the way in which prices would behave. If, for example, we are looking toward what we did, for example, recently was basically cap the price of petroleum. And that resulted in a situation where there was a little bit. We basically under recovered, so we didn't respond optimally to how the market was at the time. So we weren't paying the real price in the market. So what then happens is that whatever excess there is, or you know, under recovery there is modified or adjusted by something called the slate levy mechanism. Well, it's actually a self-adjusting slate levy mechanism.
Now, I like the point that you're making, because I think many of us take for granted that there are underlying sort of supply and distribution dynamics in each of the sort of petrol, diesel, and even some of the other derivatives of crude oil that one would be using on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, what happens when a Department of Energy comes in and intervenes in that market in the manner that we've seen over the last few months or so to restrict the kind of increases that we have? And what does that mean going forward?
Well, the one thing that is most obvious is that we had a temporary relief. So the long-term projections, for example, from the World Oil Outlook is that petroleum prices are going to range between about $74 and about $76, 11 months from July, right? So that's what they see. But where we have these temporary spikes or very rapid changes in the price, which is what we saw over the past couple of months, governments can actually absorb these risks. So when they do absorb this risk, it's not a bet, you know. It's really sort of making a concerted decision to say, well, we will be able to contain the cost change for the country in order to enable our economy to continue moving as it did. However, if you look at what happened this month, so this month's report is basically shows a very, very interesting picture. So on one hand, you've got petroleum prices that were, they had a slight over recovery. And that over-recovery basically worked to our advantage. Those people who are using private cars worked to their advantage in a sense that the over-recovery was about 22 cents to the liter. The slate levy was 21 cents 21 cents, 29.9 cents to the liter, so that's still 22 cents. And that's how it happened that petrol prices don't change. But diesel prices changed because of, you know, the way in which the international prices were moving. So the exchange rate and international prices in particular. And the same thing happened with the illuminating paraffin sector as well.
Let's take a look, Hlulani, just briefly there at that point of international prices. We have heard about what is happening in Saudi Arabia and, of course, some of the uncertainty that has been plaguing one of the other oil-producing markets, Venezuela. And I'm interested in what that means into the near term and maybe the next 18 months for motorists. If indeed some of those sanctions bite heavily on Saudi supplies, it might restrict global supplies and we might see a sort of a response from OPEC. What kind of response would we anticipate?
Well, OPEC had I think their last meeting was towards the end of September. And one of the things that they agreed on was that things will remain unchanged for now, and they'll just keep on observing the supply and demand dynamics. However, given the fact that, you know, there's quite a bit of geopolitical tension right now, it's very hard to decide. But for a country like South Africa, our situation is really about being ready to contain the short-term volatility that could actually come from this kind of these kind of geopolitics. On one hand, on the other hand, I know many suppliers are probably considering strengthening their value chains, so new value chains or lighter value chains that they haven't been working with over the years. So it's very difficult. I cannot see through this, to be quite honest. It's it looks a little more tense than what is reported.
And, you know, nearing as we are, of course, the February budget, one would wonder whether or not, you know, politically or economically, it would make sense to sort of be tinkering and playing around with that fuel levy, which is also a big driver of the retail price that we pay at the pumps.
Yes. So one side is if we do tamper with the fuel levy too much, we might meddle with the labor market. So the labor market that's attached to the fuel levy. And this is predominantly because some of the work, the employees and the workers who handle petroleum distribution or sales, in other words, tend to be subsidized, to be quite clear, through the fuel levy. And on the other hand, the fuel levy is also an important source of revenue, even though that's contracting because the average that you get for every 100 kilometers that people travel is decreasing because engine capacities are changing. So fuel efficiencies are resulting in a significant change. However, there are arguments about sort of, I think these arguments around translating road infrastructure budgets and raising capital through the fuel levy in order to fund road infrastructure. However, that does not account for the benefit of distance and some technologies that are implemented along these pieces of infrastructure. So it's very, very difficult. But what is interesting is that we're taking a very disciplined approach to how we deal with the fuel levy. And it's quite fortunate compared to our last interview and the interview we're having today. We're in a situation where the intervention did work in some respects. However, it is still a short-term measure because just as a side note, you know, by 2040, the expectation for developing countries in terms of million barrels of fuel equivalent or oil equivalent demand is set to go from 142 million to 228 by 2040. So those are scary numbers from a fuel or oil demand perspective. And it's higher than anything else, higher than the OECD or Eurasia. I mean, it's very scary how much fuel we're going to be demanding in the long term. So that means that we might be the most exposed, part of the world to fuel price volatility or the volatility of Brent crude oil.
Okay, my brother, let's leave it there for now. We'll certainly be watching that one very closely. That there was Hlalani Mokoena, transport economist and a lecturer at the Northwest University, saying that we do find ourselves quite vulnerable to some of the shifts in supply dynamics in the global oil market, be it what's happening in Saudi Arabia or even the performance there of the South African rand and the volatility that has characterized our currency in the recent while.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.